Thank God. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke 19. We've been looking at the life of Christ. We've been going through these chapters, and we found that Jesus' disciples were following him on his way to Jerusalem. And on the way, they meet a blind man. Jesus heals Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, instantly. He begins to follow Jesus. Then they go along. Jesus looks up into a tree, tells a guy to come down out of the tree. His name is Zacchaeus. They go to his house. Zacchaeus is saved. His family is saved. Then after that, Jesus knows they're going to Jerusalem, and he prepares his disciples to let them know that, no, the kingdom is not coming right now. There's going to be a time that they're going to have to wait and be faithful. So he tells them this parable of the 10 minas. We looked at this last week. And directly following that, he moves toward Jerusalem. And we're going to pick that up today in verse 28 of Luke chapter 19. It says, "And when he, Jesus, had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it? You shall say this, the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying that colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And he rode along, and they spread their cloaks on the road. And as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' And he answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' And when he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, 'Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace.'" We're going to stop there. Would you have known this day? Powerful time here in the life of our Lord. He is going to Jerusalem. He knows that when he reaches Jerusalem, he's going to be scourged, beaten. He's going to suffer at the hands of the Sanhedrin. He's going to die, and he's going to rise again. His disciples don't know that, but Jesus knows that. And as he approaches the city, he's coming down from the Mount of Olives. Now, the Mount of Olives is on a hill, if you've been to Jerusalem, and it goes down. It's very steep going down from the Mount of Olives. Goes through the Kidron Valley, and up the other side is the city of Jerusalem. So you can see Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, just a valley in between them. And Jesus is going down this steep path on this donkey. They're throwing cloaks in front of him as a sign of royalty. They're rejoicing in all the mighty deeds that they had seen, all the miracles that Jesus had performed. So a big part of that multitude had to be people who had been healed by our Lord. Blind Bartimaeus might have been there. Others who had been healed. The lame that had now walked. All of his disciples. It said his disciples had gathered around him. So this was the crowd of people who were following Jesus. And they were rejoicing. They were celebrating the fact that he was going to Jerusalem. And then in the midst of all the celebration and the rejoicing and all the enthusiasm the people have, Jesus stops there, and he begins to weep. And I'm sure that was odd for the disciples to see that. This was a time of, boy, great enthusiasm, Lord. This is a time of rejoicing. What are you doing weeping? And Jesus then said, "O Jerusalem, would that you, even you, had known this day the things that make for peace." Jesus knew the deepest cry of the human heart. And he knew that the people of Jerusalem would be seeking religion, they would be seeking everything else, but they would miss the Prince of Peace, the only one that could heal their lives and bring them the one thing they were searching for. And they were going to miss that time. And it caused our Lord to weep. Let's look at this today a little bit. This area called peace. What do you think about when you think of peace. I saw a beautiful painting one time that said peace, had peace at the top. And it was this raging waterfall tumbling down, spray all over, and there was this one limb that was jutted out underneath this waterfall, and on the limb was a bird's nest. And the bird was in the nest feeding the little ones in the nest with this waterfall all around it and all the mist, and it said, peace, right here. What kind of pictures come to our mind? Well, the word peace primarily has to do with harmonious relationships. It has to do with relationships. We think of peace being the absence of war. If you look up in the dictionary oftentimes, or you get on Google, you put Google in peace, and you'll find information on war and the absence of war. So peace normally is the absence of conflict, absence of war. In fact, the Greek word eirene for peace means just that. It means harmonious relationships, primary meaning of peace, harmonious relationships. And it also means a sense of rest and contentment. How many of us want peace? Peace in our homes, peace in our lives personally, peace in our church. When there's not peace in the home, it throws everything else cattywampus, doesn't it? I don't think cattywampus is in the dictionary, but you know what I mean. Throws it off center. Peace. Peace also has to do with an inner tranquility, that inner rest that we enjoy. Think of peace of mind. Having peace of mind. How do we get peace of mind? How many of you have, like I do sometimes, our mind is just racing with so many thoughts? Webster's Dictionary says, peace is the freedom from internal commotion. Internal commotion. Been there, done that. Might be there now. Freedom from agitation or disturbance by passions such as fear, terror, anger, or anxiety. Freedom from those things. That's when we can have peace. How do you get free from some of those things? As soon as you have a little bit of peace, you turn on Fox News. Then that robs you of your peace. You go to a mall and you find out there's a mall shooting. There goes your peace. You take your family to school, find out there's another school shooting. There goes your peace. How do you have peace and tranquility? Jesus revealed there are two kinds of peace. He told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. So there's two types of peace. There's a peace that the world has to offer, and there's a peace that God has to offer. And man is on the hunt for that. Peace of mind, inner rest. How can I get that? Let's look at this here. What is the kind of peace the world has to offer? Does the world have to offer any kind of peace? For one thing, well, it says in Isaiah 48, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. No peace for the wicked. Now, when we think of that verse, we think, oh, well, there are some very wicked people in this world. People are in state penitentiaries, the rapists, the pedophiles. Those are the wicked people. Guess what? God looks at everybody outside of Christianity, outside of those who follow Jesus, as the wicked. Those are the wicked. Not just the wicked of the wicked. We're all wicked. John 3:16, many of us could quote that verse, says, for God so loved the world that he gave, who? His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You know the next verse? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Next verse. He who believes in the Son is not condemned. But he who does not believe in the Son is what? Condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So we stand condemned by birth. We're under the wrath of God by our sinful nature, not because of what we do. Somebody once said, are we sinners because we sin, or do we sin because we're sinners? We sin because we're sinners by nature. By nature. Then the next verse says, for the judgment has come into this world. Judgment has come. The light has come. But men love darkness rather than light. And those who practice wickedness love darkness and reject the light. They reject the light. So when we're talking about the wicked, we're talking about those who reject Jesus Christ. We're also talking about those who don't want anything to do with God's word. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits at the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this law, he meditates on it when? Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf never withers. You never dry up." And the next verse says, "The wicked are not so." The wicked are not so because they don't love the Word of God. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't care about the Word of God. They don't want to hear about some transcendent law, moral law that covers all of us, everybody in the world. And it's true in all generations and all cultures at all times. They don't want to hear that. Those are the wicked. And the Bible says there is no peace for the wicked. Even though they're on the hunt, there's no peace. Lasting peace. What's the opposite of peace? Well, you got confusion, commotion, disturbance, chaos, disorder, upheaval. You can go on and on about things that contrast peace. Commotion in our life, unrest, confusion, disorder. That's what's happening in our nation right now as we turn away from God. The chaos is growing, the rage is growing, the frustration is growing, the anger is growing, because there's no peace for the wicked. We might think, oh, we can have a little bit of peace if everybody can be taken care of. No, it's not going to bring us peace. Well, maybe we could have a little peace if everybody holds hands and hums mantras. World peace. No, that's not going to bring us peace. People are pursuing peace in many areas that the world has to offer. Here's the things the world has to offer. You want some peace? Go get drunk. Alcohol. How many? You don't have to raise your hands. How many of us here found a little peace with alcohol? Oh, it's the only way I can cope. I come home at night, I need to take a six-pack of beer, then I just kind of wind down. I'll take a glass or two or three or ten of wine, you know, just to kind of make it through the night so I can sleep or have a little bit when I get up in the morning. Alcohol, alcoholism, trying to find some kind of inner rest through something. And what does the world have? Alcohol, liquor stores. But you know what? That doesn't last very long because when you're done with the drunk, you got to face the day, right? Been there, done that, right? Also, drugs. Maybe if I can just find the right drug. Self-medicate. That's what I need. That's what will give me a little bit of peace. That's what gets me going in the morning and helps me sleep at night. Yes, I believe in God, but boy, I love these prescription drugs or these illicit drugs that I need. I have Jesus and a little bit of this. I get by with a little help from my friends. Some of you know that old song. Drugs. How about a series of sexual relationships people are trying to find peace in? Oh, I just need to find that right person. Then I'll be content. Then I'll be at peace. But just find my soulmate. So you just go through a series of sexual relationships, homosexual and heterosexual, trying to find some kind of peace. God says there's no peace there. It might seem like it for a moment, but then it's gone. Nothing's lasting. Nothing's lasting. Pornography. Oh, the only way I can just get away from things, I got my own little fantasy world here in my computer. Just get into my fantasy world. Just kind of let go of everything else. We find out that's not peaceful. That causes more destruction, more unrest, more hurts, more disillusionment. Well, you know what I like to do to get peace? I like to eat. Anybody ever hear of comfort food? That's what makes me feel the best, just eating. But then I can't eat too much. I might get too heavy, and so I expel it, so I'm bulimic. Or the other end, you either overeat or undereat. Well, I just don't feel right. You know, I just feel like I'm overweight. I'm 5'9" and 100 pounds. I'm just too heavy. Overeating, undereating, finding that. Workaholism. Oh, boy. Maybe I just pour myself into my job, make more money, then I'll have more control of the things in my life, and then I can get some rest. The more I make, better promotion. Oh, finally I'll make it there. We get the promotion, then we got more responsibility than we intended. Oh, there goes my peace. And overemphasis on health and exercise. How many of us know we need to eat healthy, right? There are certain diseases that are only characteristic to Western culture, like diverticulosis. You don't see that in any place else in the world because of our very soft American diet here. We need to watch how we eat. It's good to watch how we eat. We need to do that. And exercise is good too. But do you think there is an overemphasis on exercise today? Oh, yes. I just can't feel right unless I'm exercising 20 hours a week. Then I feel right. But you're neglecting maybe a lot of other priorities in your life. It can be an overemphasis. Just trying to find this place of tranquility, place where I can feel good about my life. We're on the hunt. Some try to find it in religion. Oh, if I go start going to church, maybe I'll find a little bit of peace. Then we go to church and the pastor says something that ticks me off. There goes my peace. Okay? Or I see somebody across the way that owes me money. There's my peace. Can't find it anywhere. Can't find it in church. Can't find it anywhere. Spirituality. People move to Grand County to find peace. Let's get out of the city. If I can just go to the mountains. Oh, I just have so much peace up there on the mountaintop. How many know you come to Grand County? You lose your peace really quick up here. Okay? Life is tough in Grand County. Right? You can hug a tree a little bit, but that ain't going to bring you lasting peace. Some say if I just go to a rehab, then maybe I get my life together. Then there's other problems. Because there's so much of life that's out of our control. It's like the carnival game that you play. You have the hammer and those little heads pop up. You knock one down, another one pops up over here. You hit that one, another one pops up. Bam, 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 bam. You just get this side going, get this side down, others pop up. This is like life. You get one relationship healed, another one goes bad. One thing in my life is together. Oh, look at this mess over here. There is no peace in this world. The world has no lasting peace to offer. There's nowhere to find it. So we're frustrated. We're depressed. We want to check out. That's why the suicide rates are going out the roof right now. Because people cannot find that place of rest. It's not there. Why? There's too much out of our control. You cannot change your family. If you were abused, sexually abused, physically abused, abandoned, you cannot change that. Maybe you have a father or mother that will not ask your forgiveness, don't think they did anything wrong. How are you going to find peace in the midst of that storm? You can't have a marriage that is without conflict. You're going to have conflict in marriage. Why? Because there's people in marriage. And where you have people, you got conflicts, right? There's always going to be things to work out in marriages. Out of our control. Marital conflict, family conflict. Just get my marriage together, my in-laws are not a problem. And my outlaws, and everybody else. Past failures. I can't rectify some past failures. I can't go back and undo the past. How can I find peace when I have to live with those kind of regrets? See? So we self-medicate. That's all the world has to offer. You don't have any place else to go. No amount of counseling, rehab is going to change that. Give you the true inner peace. Can only be attained in one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. Friedrich Nietzsche, some of you know, probably have read some of his books in college. He's the one who coined the term God is dead in the 70s. God is dead. Friedrich Nietzsche. He was an atheist, skeptic. He was greatly influenced by a man by the name of François de la something. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Rochefoucauld or something like that. Fouquet, some of you who know French. I think it's French. But this man who was an atheist who influenced Nietzsche said this, when a man finds no peace in himself, it is useless to seek it elsewhere. When a man finds no peace in himself, it's useless to seek it elsewhere. How do we find peace within ourselves? We have the words of life as Christians. There's a ministry we're going to be starting up here in Grand County that I want you to know about. You have a flyer in your notes this morning. It's called Celebrate Recovery. It's a ministry that has been going on now for almost 30 years. It was started by a man by the name of John Baker and his wife who came out of addictions in their own life and hurts and abuses. And they wanted to minister to people to lead them out of that because Jesus Christ has healing for every area of life. And so they started Celebrate Recovery through Saddleback Church many years ago. Tens of thousands of people have come to Christ through this ministry. There is a church in Craig, Colorado up here, just our neighbors. They've been having this ministry in their church for the last 10 years. A third of their congregation has come through just this one ministry, Celebrate Recovery, because of the healing that it's brought to lives. And we are bringing that to this part of the county here next year. There are nine or ten churches that get together every month, all evangelical, born-again pastors. And some of us went skiing on Friday. It was awesome. You know, pastors and powder. You know, that was kind of... But we've all gotten together, and this came to the table. Pastor Bill Blake brought it to the table to us last November. We've been praying about it. We've had some meetings with Brothers and Craig, meetings with some of you, with law enforcement, medical profession. We're there at some of these meetings. And we feel like we can bring this to Grand County. It's a huge ministry, but what a great opportunity for this. What we need, and what I'm going to present to you right now, is we need leaders for this ministry. We are compiling leaders right now. Not people who need the ministry, but compiling leaders. If you know the trap of addiction, if you've been through addiction, I've been through alcohol, drug addiction. I know the trap that's there, and pornography. I know the trap that's there. I haven't looked at pornography for 39 years, but I was steeped in it when I was young. It's a trap. And any sexual addictions, any other kind of addictions, codependency, whatever it might be, we need leaders. And we are developing a leadership team. So other churches across the valley this month are announcing this. And we're going to try to get people from each church to form a large leadership team. Sometime in May, we're going to send them for training, because you have to have training for this. So we will be getting our leaders to training. And then throughout the summer, we'll be going through the 12 studies of Celebrate Recovery. Celebrate Recovery goes through the 12 steps, but it goes from Christianity. And also, it's based on the 8 Beatitudes also. It's a real powerful Bible teaching. Then next fall, we're going to find that we're going to be more solid in our foundation. And then probably January 2015, we're launching this ministry for here. It's going to be dynamic in our community. The reason we're taking so much time is we want to get a strong leadership base. We don't want this to be a flash in the pan. We want it to be a long-standing ministry to people that come out of the enslavement of sin into the life of Christ. And so that's what this is going to be all about. Pastor Bill Blake and myself are on kind of the steering committee of this. And so if you have been praying, saying, Lord, where do you want me to serve? I've made so many mistakes in my life. I've had so many sins in my life. I have so many regrets in my life. Where can I be of a help? This could be the area God is calling you to. It's amazing about our Lord. One of the beautiful things about Christ is he gives us beauty for ashes. And oftentimes the area of the greatest ministry that we have to offer comes through the realm of our greatest failures in life, because we can identify with people. So if you're interested in Celebrate Recovery and being a leader, you contact me, okay? We already have 4 people from our church that have volunteered to be part of that leadership team, and we can use many more. So thank God for that. Healing begins with what Job said, agree with God and be at peace. How simple is that? Yet how profound. Agree with God and be at peace. This is the beginning point. Agree with God. Agree with what God says about us and what he says about himself. Confession, when we confess, it means we agree with God. Confession is agreement with God. When God said, this is sin, I agree with that. When God says, this is how I am, I agree with that. When God said, this is how he is, I agree with that. Agree with God and be at peace. This is the message that we have of hope to reach out to people, of the message of life. Peace that Jesus brings, the peace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Peace with God. That's the first relationship that needs to be healed. The first relationship that we need to have harmony with. And there's no way to get that harmony except through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is a huge problem. Why can't we have harmony with God by thinking good thoughts? Why can't we have harmony with God by going to the top of a mountain and having a beautiful view? Because there is this barrier between us and God called sin. Big barrier called sin. Isaiah 59 says, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God so that he does not hear you. So there's a separation between us, and we cannot take that barrier away because we're sinners by nature. The only one that can remove the barrier of sin is Christ himself. And how did Jesus do that? Jesus took the hit for us. He bore the wrath of God that we deserved in His own body on that tree. He satisfied the justice of God on our behalf because all sin has to be punished. God is a just God. God's a loving God. He's a merciful God. He's also a just God. All sin had to be punished. It could not go unpunished. Jesus took the hit for us and offered us forgiveness. So now the barrier's taken away and we can enter into the Holy of Holies. That's what we celebrate. And then the peace of God floods our being. Hebrews chapter 9 says, "But as it is, He, Jesus, has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself." The sacrifice of Himself. So we have forgiveness with Christ, and the barrier is taken away. It's removed. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8 real quickly. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. The freedom that we have, the peace that we have, has everything to do with what Christ has done. It says in Romans 8, 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Remember Jesus said, those who reject the Son are already condemned. We're already condemned, but those who are in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. No guilt. God has removed that. "For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." So for the Christian, we are free. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The understanding of the release of guilt before God is overwhelming when we see His mercy. And the peace that comes to us only comes because of the relationship that has now been reconciled between us and God. We can live in harmony with Almighty God. That's an awesome, awesome truth in our lives. We have harmony with God, and with that harmony and restoration, and that relationship with God, it flows out to harmony and relationships in all the other areas of our life. God begins to heal relationships, heal marriages, heal individuals. God Almighty begins to do that. We cannot do that on our own because we can't control how people think. We can't control what people say, the hurtful things that they say, or the hurtful things that we say. But God can bring that peace. Some of you know this story. It's a true story about my daughter. When I was thinking about this, this kept coming to my mind, so I'm going to share it. But it's such a picture of the miracle that God performs in lives in bringing healing. My daughter Christy, when she was 18 years old, she was going to the mission field and she had a terrible accident. Many of you know that, and had several plastic surgeries on her face. But while she was recovering, she entered into a cosmetology school because she likes to work with hair. Down in Denver, Colorado, it was in a mall. There were about 20-some other girls in the school, and Christy was just a novelty in this school because most all the other girls in the school had children out of wedlock. They were strung out on some kind of drug or alcohol. They came from broken homes. Christy was just so different than anybody in the school. She had never drank. She didn't smoke. She never took drugs. She never had had sex. She was still a virgin. She had a family who loved her and went down there to actually see what she's doing. And they saw us hugging each other. They just thought Christy was just from another world down there. This is a testimony of how God wants us to be so different than the world that we make the gospel attractive. There's a feeling in Christianity today that I'm total disagreement with that says you've got to be like the world in order to reach the world. You've got to sound like the world and talk like the world and have talk shows like the world and everything else. You got to be like the world in order to reach the world. God's word says, no, you shall be holy as I am holy. And the root word for holy is, guess what? Different. Holy means different. We're to be different. God takes us out of the world. Yeah, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So Christy is here in this school, and this girl joins the school. Her name is Nikki. Nikki is a heroin addict. Nikki is a very violent, violent girl. About the second day Nikki was in the school, she got mad at one of the other girls, grabbed the girl by the hair, knocked her down, drug her out into the mall, and beat her bloody in the mall out there. Scared everybody in the school. Yeah, scared people in the mall. Nikki was so violent that her boyfriend, with whom she had 3 children, took her children back east, took her children away from her because she was that way. She joins a cosmetology school, and where does she put her stuff but right next to my daughter, her station right next to my daughter. And she looks over at Christy and she said, "You touch my stuff, I'll kill you." Christy says, "Okay." What could she say? Okay. Anyway, Nikki goes day after day, week after week, they're working in there. As time went on, Nikki became intrigued with my daughter because she was like this person she never knew. So Nikki starts asking her questions about what makes her tick and why is she all joyful all the time. And Christy starts talking to her about the Lord, talking about family, talking about Jesus. Through the weeks, finally one day, her and Nikki walk out of the school into the parking lot, and Christy leads her to Christ, prays with her. And Nikki has this tremendous change. She stops taking heroin without rehab. She gets off of her drugs and alcohol little bit by little bit, not cold turkey, but was. And so Christy starts discipling her, and one day Christy says, "Nikki, you need to get baptized now. Make disciples and be baptized." She goes, "Okay, let's get baptized." Christy says, "I'll come over Wednesday night." Christy goes over there Wednesday night. Well, Wednesday, one of Nikki's old friends came by and had a bunch of booze, and they got drunk. So Christy goes up to the door, and Nikki is laying on the couch. She goes, "I can't go. I'm sorry, Christy. You know, I got drunk." Christy says, "That's okay." So she loads her up and puts her in her car and takes her to church and tells the pastor the situation, you know, and the pastor says, "Fine." So they baptized her drunk that night. The church did. Praise God. Then they went on, and Christy continued to disciple Nikki a few more months, and finally Nikki says, "Christy, I got children, I got a boyfriend, I made such a mess of my life." And Christy says, "Nikki, what you need to do is quit this school, get on a plane, go back east, and get reconciled with your family." And so she did. She quit the school, got on a plane, went back east, and her boyfriend would have nothing to do with her, so she moved in with her dad, who didn't want anything to do with her either, but she had no place else to go. So her dad said, "Let's make it temporary." But he saw the change. Nikki was going to church, found a church. Her dad started watching her change. Pretty soon her dad went to church with her, and her dad became a Christian. So Nikki and her dad are going to church. Now her boyfriend is watching what's going on, and they begin to talk, and they begin to meet. And her boyfriend started to be with Nikki. Nikki told her about the life of Christ, told him about it. He went to church with her. He gave his life to the Lord, and they got married. Then Nikki wrote this fantastic letter to my daughter saying, "Christy, I'm so grateful that you were not intimidated by me in that school, that you shared Jesus with me. Because now we're a family, they're involved in church. God had healed." When that relationship with Nikki and the Lord was healed, it caused healing to be in all their other relationships. Praise God for that. That's what we have to offer. And it's not that we have to be like the world or participate with the world or sound like the world. We are so different from the world that they're wondering, what makes us tick? What's the source of your joy? What's the source of your peace? How can you have peace in this situation? How can you fly when there's terrorists? How can you go to malls? How can you just let your children go? How can they go on mission trips to Middle Eastern countries? What is the matter with you? How can you have such peace? They don't understand that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. We are in harmony with the one who controls the universe. They don't know that. What a blessing we have. We can hold out the words of life to people. Most people will reject Jesus, but not everybody. There are some who that's going to be the words of life to them. They're going to come into the kingdom. God will use us, the messes that we are. Anybody here a mess besides me? Yeah. You're sitting next to one. God uses us to display his glory. We experience peace and contentment even in the midst of the storms of life. Jesus said, "I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Our peace is in Jesus. He is our peace, it says in Ephesians chapter 2. There's no other. God doesn't want us to try to find peace in something out there in the world. We don't need Jesus plus all these other things. Our peace is in him. And the closer we get to him, the more we are flooded with his joy, with his love, the knowledge of his mercy, the freedom of forgiveness, the abundant life that we have, and the peace that he gives. In the midst of the storm, sometimes God calms a storm. God can calm a storm, storm raging around us, relationship storms, financial storms, health storms, marital storms. God can cause those storms to quit with a word. Sometimes he stills a storm, but sometimes he stills us in the midst of the storm. Sometimes he calms a storm, sometimes he calms us with the storm raging around us. That the storm doesn't change, we change. This is why Jesus was able to sleep in the boat in the midst of the storm when the disciples thought they were dying. Now, what a picture that is. And Jesus said, why did you doubt? And they probably looked at each other like, we're up to our knees in water here, and you're saying, why did we doubt in the boat? We have peace with God. Isaiah 26, you, O Lord, keep the one. You keep him in peace, perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. God keeps the one in perfect peace, not like the world gives. This is lasting. This is a sense of rest that only God can give us, inner rest, regardless of what things are going on around us. You keep the one in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. As soon as we get our mind on other things, gone. We lose it. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. We have to just understand God's absolute control. People are driving up. We had a busload of kids Thursday driving up here. Gary Selberg had them in. And they get caught in traffic in the avalanche on the other side of the pass. Then they turn around and they say, well, let's just go around Kremlin. Then they get caught in the traffic, stopped going over Eisenhower Tunnel. It took them like 6 hours to get back home from Denver. What do you do? I mean, it doesn't help to kick the bus tires. That's not going to help. To get upset, curse the snow. What good is that? That's wasted energy. But can we understand, Lord, you have a reason for both the stops and the starts in my life. You got the reason for every delay because you're in control of my life. I'm just going to rest here. Right in the midst of the storm, everybody's getting upset and everything else. We have peace with God. Knowing what we know as Christians, I'm talking to all the Christians in this room or whoever's listening to this message by another means, Christians, we now understand the peace of God. We know what Jesus came to bring. We know the freedom of forgiveness. We know the abundant life. We're growing in our knowledge of him and in this realm of his kingdom that we're living in. We understand, and understanding that helps us to understand why Jesus wept when he was going toward Jerusalem. Because those people would never be able to experience that because they were rejecting the only one that could give them what they were searching for. And he wept over them. Oh, they were very religious. They even knew the scriptures. They had even memorized the scriptures. But they didn't know him. They didn't know him. And they rejected him. He is our life. That's what we are as Christians. We are Christ followers. And in him, we have peace. And look in any place else, it'll never be there. As we leave here this morning, God leaves us with a word. This is how we go on living. Okay? The Bible says, do not be anxious about almost anything. It doesn't say that. Do not be anxious about anything. The Greek word anxious there, by the way, is marismos. It means to be pulled in two different directions. Having two eyes going in two different directions. In other words, stress. That's what our vernacular would call it. Do not be stressed out about anything. Wait a minute, how can we do that? Is that even reasonable? Is it possible not to be stressed out about anything? Yes. What it means is that we have a stressful situation and we start feeling the emotion coming and we start getting fearful or we start getting angry or we start to get those emotions, we put those emotions down and we fix our eyes on the one who gives us perfect peace as our mind is stayed on him. Those emotions will try to come up and consume us, but they don't have power over us anymore. We can let it go. We don't shake our fist at God and say, God, why are you doing this to me? Because that doesn't do any good. But we look to him and say, not why, but what do you want me to do in the situation that I'm in that will most glorify you? We don't ask God why, we ask him what. We don't want him to explain himself to me, because guess what? He does not have to explain himself to anybody. He's Almighty God. We are these puny little specks of dust that he's breathed life into, and we think we want God to explain himself to us? How foolish is that? We don't ask him why. We say, Lord, what can I do to most glorify you in the situation I'm in? He gives us peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. We're always thanking God because he's there. He's able. He always answers prayer. Always gives us all we need. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. There's no reason why we should have peace in the midst of this storm, but we do. There's no reason for it. It passes all understanding. Doesn't even make sense, but we do. Because we understand God. We understand his presence. We know Jesus. The peace which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't God awesome? In the life we have, we hold out to others who desperately need to know him. They are searching for peace in every other way, and it's not going to be there. For there is no peace for those outside of Jesus Christ. Praise God for that, the words of life and hope. Let's bow for prayer here today. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we thank you. Father in heaven, thank you for your love and mercy toward us. For once, Lord, we were without you and had no hope. We were apart from you. We were looking in all the wrong places, trying to make some sense out of life. Thank you, in all of your mercy, you opened our eyes. You drew us to yourself. You chose us out of the world to be yours. And we are so very grateful, O God. And we thank you that you have your eye on so many others around us, and that you will even use us to bring the words of life to them. Father, may we be found faithful doing that. Oh God, we give you thanks. Thank you for knowing the deepest need in our life and for meeting that. We give you praise for that today. And Lord, may we learn to walk with you. Learn how to keep our eyes on you. Thank you for the reminder of the Word of God again today. And Lord, just minister to each one now again. There may be some in this room who are facing tremendous challenge, and that challenge is causing a consumingness in them. Their emotions just consume. Maybe their minds are just racing. Can't take their mind off a certain thing. Bring peace to them, Lord. They're one of your children. Bring peace to them. If they do not know you, draw them to yourself. Let this very situation lead them to you, Lord. We thank you for this, for healing, for deliverance, for forgiveness, for life. Oh God, we give you praise for these things today. We are so grateful, Lord, for your presence in our life. Now, Father, we just thank you for this time. And with this last song, Lord, let us be reminded of all that you've accomplished for us. We give you thanks for this in Jesus' name. Amen.